Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member Avram Goldar, and today we're Zichu Yavamas Daf Nun Hey, the sixth pair of Kabbalah Yabimto. So the three Dafs are going to focus on number one. After Gemara learns that the Isra of Akos Ishto, of one's wife's sister, applies to both the paternal or maternal sister and derives this from the Isra of Eshas Ach, one brother's wife, it asks for the source that the Isra of Eshas Ach applies to both the paternal and maternal brother. It brings a brisa that taught that the pasuk Ervas Eshas Achicha Los Tegaleh, the Erva of your brother's wife you shall not uncover, ben mina ab ben mina aim, applies whether one's husband is the paternal or maternal brother. The brisa questions whether this is conclusive, since on one hand, the Isra of Eshas Ach, a brother's wife, can be compared to the Isra of one's sister, which applies to both the paternal or maternal sister, while on the other hand, it could be compared to the Isra of one's father's brother's wife, which only applies to a paternal brother. The brisa concludes that the pasuk ends with the words, Ervas Achihihi. She is the erva of your brother, to teach that one's brother's wife is forbidden whether her husband is a paternal or maternal brother. Pointing to the Gemara asks that since the Torah learns from one pasuk that all arayos receive karis, achos of the custom but karis ramali, why is there a mention of karis by the prohibition of having relations with one's sister? And answers that it's needed for what Rabbi Yochanan said, shim asim kum behelam achas, chai b'ko achas v'achas, that if one committed all the erva transgressions during one lapse of awareness, he's chayv to bring a chatas for each transgression. The Gemara clarifies that according to Rabbi Yitzhak, who learns that the reason Achosa was singled out is to teach Ladunim a karis, but with Malkus, that one who has relations with an Issa karis is punished with karis and not with Malkus, he learns out to separate the arayos so that each one is chayv a chatas if performed in one lapse of awareness from the Alisha benidas tumasa, and a woman in her nidas state of tuma you shall not approach. Why did the Torah add a woman, l'chalik al kol isha v'isha, to separate and make one chai v'chatas for each forbidden woman? And pointing with the Rama asks that since in basically all cases hara, the initial stage of relations, has the same status as the completion of the act, why did the Torah write the words shivcha zera, cohabitation with seed, which refers to the completion of relations, in the three cases of hashivcha zera, a designated maidservant, an eshes ish, a married woman, and a sota? After explaining the reasons for the mention regarding a shivcha charufa and a married woman, the Gemara addresses the sota and brings a brice which taught that the reference to shivcha zera is to exclude something from the laws of sota. Rava said the brice is coming to exclude shekina l'derech evarim, to exclude a case where one warned his wife against bodily contact with another man. Rashi says this refers to pressing oneself against a woman. This type of warning would not make her a sota. The brice need to teach this, for one might have thought b'kbeta tabal tal rachmana, that the Torah made the matter dependent on the husband's objection, and in this case, the husband objects to bodily contact. Therefore, the Torah teaches that a sota warning is only valid if it deals with adulterous behavior, which is at least the beginning of cohabitation. So once again, the three points are, number one, after the Gemara learns that the Isra of Achos Ishto, one's wife's sister, applies to both the paternal or maternal sister, and derives this from the Isra of Eshes Ach, one brother's wife, it asks for the source that the Isra of Eshes Ach applies to both the paternal and maternal brother. It brings a brisa that taught that the pasuk Ervas Eshes Achicha Los Tegaleh, the erva of your brother's wife you shall not uncover, ben mina ab ben mina aim, applies whether one's husband is the paternal or maternal brother. The brisa questions whether this is conclusive, since on one hand, the Isra of Eshes Ach, a brother's wife, can be compared to the Isra of one's sister, which applies to both the paternal or maternal sister, while on the other hand, it could be compared to the Isra of one's father's brother's wife, which only applies to a paternal brother. The brisa concludes that the pasuk ends with the words, Ervas Achihihi. She is the erva of your brother, to teach that one's brother's wife is forbidden whether her husband is the paternal or maternal brother. Pointing to the Gemara asks that since the Torah learns from one pasuk that all arayos receive karis, achos of the custom but karis ramali, why is there a mention of karis by the prohibition of having relations with one's sister? And answers that it's needed for what Rabbi Yochanan said, shim asim kum behelam achas, chai b'ko achas v'achas, that if one committed all the erva transgressions during one lapse of awareness, he's chayv to bring a chatas for each transgression. The Gemara clarifies that according to Rabbi Yitzhak, who learns that the reason achosa was singled out is to teach Ladunim a karis, but with Malkus, that one who has relations with an Issa karis is punished with karis and not with Malkus, he learns out to separate the arayos so that each one is chayv a chatas if performed in one lapse of awareness from the Alisha benidas tumasa, and a woman in her nidas state of tuma you shall not approach. Why did the Torah add a woman, l'chalik al kol isha v'isha, to separate and make one chayv a chatas for each forbidden woman? And pointing with the Rama asks that since in basically all cases hara, the initial stage of relations, has the same status as the completion of the act, why did the Torah write the words Shivcha Zera, cohabitation with seed, which refers to the completion of relations, in the three cases of Hashivcha Zera, a designated maidservant, and Eshes Ish, a married woman, and a Sota? After explaining the reasons for the mention regarding a Shivcha Charufa and a married woman, the Gemara addresses the Sota and brings a brice which taught that the reference to Shivcha Zera is to exclude something from the laws of Sota. Rava said the brice is coming to exclude Shekina L'Derech Eivarim, to exclude a case where one warned his wife against bodily contact with another man. Rashi says this refers to pressing oneself against a woman. This type of warning would not make her a Sota. The Braisa need to teach this, for one might have thought, B'kbeta tabal tal rachmana, that the Torah made the matter dependent on the husband's objection, and in this case, the husband objects to bodily contact. Therefore, the Torah teaches that a Sota warning is only valid if it deals with adulterous behavior, which is at least the beginning of cohabitation. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Nun Hey, and this Simur was actually suggested to us by three Zichru members when we had the Choose the Simur contest back in Maseches Brachas. So this one was suggested by Mordechai Kornbluth of Boston, Naftali Golombek of Brooklyn, and Noach Rubin of London. And the simon is a speed limit sign of 55, which was the national speed limit here in the United States, 55 miles per hour. So the simon is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The group of wives of one's paternal and maternal brothers who worked at the speed limit sign factory were commissioned to make a slow down, achoso as in a sakara sign, after they had to throw the warning against bodily contact sign for a sota into the garbage because they were told it wasn't effective. Once again, in slow motion. The group of wives of one's paternal and maternal brothers who worked at the speed limit sign factory, speed limit sign, that must be more duff, nun hey. The group of wives of one's paternal and maternal brothers who worked at the speed limit sign factory, which reminds of the source of the Isra of Eshazach applies to both the paternal and maternal brothers, is the pasuk of Ervas Eshazachicha Lo Segaleh, the erva of your brother's wife you shall not uncover, which ends with the words Ervas Achichahi. She is the erva of your brother, to teach that one's brother's wife is forbidden whether her husband is maternal or maternal brother. So, the group of wives of one's paternal and maternal brothers, who worked at the speed limit sign factory, were commissioned to make a slow down, achoso is in a sakara sign, which reminds us. The Gemara said, since the Torah learns from one pasuk that all arayas receive karas, why is there a mention of karas by the prohibition of having relations with one's sister? And answers that it's needed for what Rabbi Yochanan said, shim asim kum behel ma'achas, chai v'kol achas v'achas, that if one committed all the erva transgressions during one lapse of awareness, he's chai to bring a chattas for each transgression. So, the group of wives of one's paternal and maternal brothers, who worked at the speed limit sign factory, were commissioned to make a slow down, achoso is in a sakara sign, after they had to throw the warning against bodily contact sign for a sota into the garbage, because they were told it wasn't effective. Which reminds us, Rava said that the pasuk mentioned Shivcha Zera by Sota to exclude Shekinu L'Derech Eivarim, where one warned his wife against bodily contact with another man. Rashi says this refers to pressing oneself against a woman. This type of warning would not make her a Sota. The Braisa need to teach us, for one might have thought, B'kbeta tabal tal rachmana, that the Torah made the matter dependent on the husband's objection, and in this case, the husband objects to bodily contact. Therefore, the Torah teaches that a Sota warning is only valid if it deals with adulterous behavior, which is at least the beginning of having relations. So once again, the group of wives of one's paternal and maternal brothers who worked at the speed limit sign factory were commissioned to make a slow down, achoso is in a sakara sign, after they had to throw the warning against bodily contact sign for a Sota into the garbage because they were told it wasn't effective. All right, now it's time for four Blabak Chazar. Daf Nunov. So the Simur Daf Nunov is a gnawing beaver. A gnawing beaver. So here goes. When the Yavam was crossing a beaver dam, that must be around Daf Nun Aleph. Beaver, based on gnawing beaver. When the Yavam was crossing a beaver dam, where Mimer was effective on one side, and again on the other, which reminds us, Abai challenges Rava's reason for Gamliel's position of Ein Ger Acher Ger V'Ein Mimer Acher Mimer. He holds that it is Pashut from Gamliel, that a Ger is Doche Yivam to some extent, and that Mimer is Kona Yavama to some extent. But a Ger after Mimer, or a Mimer after Ger, is effective. Rashi explains that when Mimer is performed first, the Yavama is partially married to the Yavam, leaving the Zika partially intact. Therefore, a get given second has some effect. When a get is given first, it affects a partial rejection, leaving the zika partially intact for a subsequent mimer to take effect. So, when the yavam was crossing a beaver dam where mimer was effective on one side and a get on the other, overheard his brothers insist they each had a right to do mimer, and give a get. Which reminds us, Abaye said that the reason the Rabbanan hold that yesh get archer get, but yesh maimer archer maimer, is that the Rabbanan enacted a get and maimer with each and every Yavama. Rashi explains that one cannot say that the first get affects rejection to the full extent possible for all the widows from all the brothers. Rather, it only affects rejection of the widow who received from the Yavam that gave it. It still leaves open the possibility of this Yavam giving a get to another Yavama, or for the other brothers to give a get even to this Yavama. The same applies regarding Mimer. So when the Yavam was crossing a beaver dam where Mimer was effective on one side and a get on the other, overheard his brothers insist they each had a right to do Mimer and give a get, he sent a beaver with a message to tell a brother who did Mimer with two Yavamas that he better do Chalitza with the first, lest he do Yibum with the second. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brights that one did Mimer with one Yavama and did Mimer with another one. Rav Gamliel says that he gives a get to the first Yavama and does Chalitza with her, and is forbidden to her relatives, but is permitted to the relatives of the second one. The reason why Rav Gamliel requires the first one to receive a Chalitza, even though the second Mimer is not effective, and seemingly he should be able to do Yibum with the first one, is that it's a gezera lest he come to perform Yibum with the second one instead. Since the first one is considered his wife, mid the Rabbanan, he will be transgressing on a rabbinic level the Isra of building two houses. Daf Nun Beis, so the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. When the newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. When the newbie to Yiddishkeit witnessed a Yavam getting whipped for not doing Mimer before Yibum, which reminds us, a Yavam gets Makas Mardus if he had relations with Yavama without doing Mimer first, and that Rav would give Makas Mardus to one who's Makadosh Bebiya, one who's Makadosh a woman through relations, Manda Makadosh Beshukka, one who's Makadosh a woman in the marketplace, which Rashi explains means even if he does with money or a star, since this is lowly and licentious, Manda Makadosh Bolo Shaduche, and one who's Makadosh a woman without a prior agreement to enter into marriage, which is permissive behavior. So, when the newbie to Yiddishkeit witnessed the Yavam getting whipped for not doing Mimer before Yibum, well, Basin showed the Yavam an example of the Shtar Ksuba Yavamin that he should have written, which reminds us we learn how Mimer is done with Kesev or Shava Kesev and what the text is for Shtar Ksuba's Yavamin. So when the newbie to Yiddishkeit witnessed the Yavam getting whipped for not doing Mimer before Yibum, well, Basin showed the Yavam an example of the Shtar Ksuba Yavamin that he should have written, he was relieved to learn that for being Makadosh Yavama that he had already done Chalitza with, he would only have to give her a get. Which reminds us, we have Malkokas in a case of a Cholitza Bimto v'chaz v'kidsha, regarding one who does Chalitza to his Yavama and then returns it, and it's Makadosh. Revi says, in kidsha l'shum ishus, if he was Makadosh for marriage in general, she needs a get from him, but l'shum yabmas, if he did it for the sake of a Yibum-related marriage, she does not require a get. But the Chamim say that in both cases, she requires a get. The Gemara brings a bias explanation of the Malkokas. Daf Nun Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. The flamboyant Yavam who got dressed in the robes of a Nigerian prince. Nigerian prince? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The flamboyant Yavam who got dressed in the robes of a Nigerian prince when he returned to Mekadosh Chalitza was Zika's Yavamin. Which reminds us, Rava gives a different explanation for the Malkokas being Revi the Chachamim regarding Hacholitza Vimto v'chaz v'kidsha, one who does Chalitza to his Yavama and then returns and is Mekadosher, saying that everyone agrees that if he was Mekadosher with Mimer of Yavamin, it's effective. They disagree if they said he's Kajkli b'Zika's Yavamin. You're Mekadosh to me with the Zika of Yavamin. Revi holds Yesh Zika, that there is a strong Zika bond between the Yavam and the Yavama, and once Chalitza is done, it's Paka the Zika, so that being Makadosh with Zika's Yavamin is no longer effective. But the Rabbanan hold Ein Zika. There is no significant Zika bond. Therefore, just as if he had told her before Chalitza that he was Makadosh with Zika's Yavamin, it would be effective, even though mentioning Zika is irrelevant, so too after Chalitza, it's effective. It's as if he was saying he was Makadosh with a Mimer. So, the flamboyant Yavam who got dressed in the robes of a Nigerian prince when he returned to be Makadosh his Chalitza was Zika's Yavamin, which he had purchased with the money she gave him to fulfill the Tanai in the Chalitza. Which reminds us, Ravashi provides a fourth explanation of the Machlokas, saying, B'yesh Tanai b'Chalitza k'mulifigay. They disagree whether one can make a Tanai regarding Chalitza. Rashi brings the example of one who said he did the Chalitza on condition that the Yavam would give him 200 zuz later. According to Rebbe, ain't Tanai l'Chalitza. One cannot make a Tanai with a Chalitza, and if she does not give him the money, the Chalitza is still effective and is Paka the Zika. Therefore, if he's Mekadosh with the Zika of Yavamim, the Kedushin is not effective.
The Rabbanan hold yesh tanai or chalitza. One can make a tanai with a chalitza. And if she does not give him the money, the chalitza does not work. And there's still a zika. Therefore, he can be mekadosher with a zika of Yavamin. So the flamboyant Yavam who got dressed in the robes of a Nigerian prince when he returned to mekadosh chalitza was zika's Yavamin, which he had purchased with the money she gave him to fulfill the tanai in the chalitza, wondered if he should have just done yibum instead, which can even be done without any kavana. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the sixth parak states, Habal Yabim to one who has relations with his Yavama. Bemba Shogeg, Bemba Mezi, Bemba Onis, Bemba Ratzon Alfil, Hu Shogeg, Vihi Mezida, and so on. Kanaval Achilot Ben Bil Labia. He has acquired the Yavama as his wife. And the Torah does not distinguish between one form of intimacy and another form of intimacy. And the law is the same for one who has relations with any of the rites of the Torah or those disqualified from marriage, such as an almana to a Kohen Gadol. Daf Nindal. So the simmer Daf Nindal is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The dozing pasta chef, Yavam, who was able to remember that the box of noodles, pasta chef, that must be more Daf Nindalit. The dozing pasta chef, Yavam, who was able to remember that the box of noodles was in the cupboard, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said, Yashin lo kanav yavimto, if the Yavam had relations while he was sleeping, he is not known as Yavam, as his wife. For the pasuk states, Yavama yavo aleha, her Yavam shall come upon her, which implies ad mechavin lo shem bia, until he is kavana for the sake of having relations with her. The Gemara clarifies that if he were dozing, he is kon his Yavama. Rav Ashi defines dozing as he's asleep, but not fully asleep. He's awake, but not fully awake. So that the people call him, he responds, but he's not awake enough that he could give a response that requires Svora. But when reminded of something, he remembers. So the dozing pasta chef Yavam, who was able to remember that the box of noodles was in the cupboard, and answer affirmatively that the sources of Hara in the Torah is based on a hekesh of the Arayos to Anida, was totally incapable of explaining that Nida in the Pasuk of Eshazach teaches that an Eshazach is an Issacharis during the lifetime of the husband, which reminds us that Nida mentioned the Pasuk of Eshazach teaches that an Eshazach is an Issacharis during a husband's lifetime after divorce, just as a Nida is permitted at a later time, yet is subject to Karis at the time of Isser. So to a brother's wife, even though she's permitted at a later time, if her husband dies childless, she is nevertheless subject to an Issacharis during a husband's lifetime. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.